You're listening to the Cornerstone Family Worship Center podcast. Making disciples, building community, and growing together in faith and love.
When they had come together and focused on him, there was a tremendous breakthrough. Tremendous breakthrough in that upper room. Matter of fact, it ushered in the Holy Spirit, didn't it? Amen? And I believe that when we come together in unity, one accord, for one purpose, that is to worship him, God will pour out his Spirit afresh, anew in our lives. You see, when the Spirit is poured out, there's something that takes place called breakthrough. Breakthrough. And I was sitting there this morning, and the Lord gave me the word breakthrough. Breakthrough. We all need a breakthrough, including myself. We all need a breakthrough in our lives. It could be a financial breakthrough. It could be a breakthrough from some sickness, disease, family matter. But we all need breakthrough. And God has made a way that we could have that breakthrough. And that is through praise, worship, admiration unto him. But we have an enemy called Satan, who attacks us, who brings a heaviness on us, a weariness on us, who gets us worn out and tired. Is that right? Come on. And so we have a hard time getting our breakthrough. But we have to press through to get our breakthrough. You know, as I was sitting there, the Lord began to speak to me on breakthrough. And God did something, though he equipped us so we could get our breakthrough. So you see, you're not needing to be equipped for your breakthrough. You've already been equipped by God. All you've got to do is release it. It's not a matter of getting what you need for the breakthrough. It's a matter of releasing what God has already given us for the breakthrough. What has he given us? He gave us a couple things. He gave you an anointing. Amen? And in Isaiah chapter 10, I got a couple of verses on that. If you turn there, Isaiah 10 and 27, and then 1 John 2 and 27. Amen. Just bow your heads. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you, Father, that you love us so much and you desire so much for us to be free. Lord, that you spoke this morning and you instructed us to worship you and how it pleases you. And Father, we realize that there are obstacles that get in our way. And Father, today we're going to have our breakthrough. This church is going to have its breakthrough. Father, this will be a corporate breakthrough, I feel in my spirit you're saying, that the chains that are over this church are going to be broken. The chains over this church and this community are going to be broken, because it's your desire for them to be broken. And so we thank you and we praise you for it in advance, because already I see angels filling the building. And I thank you, Father, for that, that there's angelic activity already been released to go and war for us and to also minister to us the heirs of salvation. So, Father, we receive it right now that this morning will be like no other morning. But this will be a morning of breakthrough of our spirits, our souls, our bodies, our finances, whatever, God, you know. And we thank you and praise you that the second ingredient is called faith. And Father, we thank you through faith, the anointing is going to be released and the chains are going to be broken. And we have our breakthrough through a persistent faith in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. In Isaiah 10 and verse 27, I'm getting there. There's Isaiah. There's chapter 10. I get my eyes down here. Oh, I got to flip the page to get to verse 27. There we go. I got older, so I got a smaller print Bible. That's faith, isn't it? Glory to God. That's where you get going to Ollie's one day. They had a bunch of Bibles there. Yeah. Hey, go Ollie's, go, huh? But I didn't get the big enough print. But anyways, I exercised my faith. In Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, it shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. An anointing that destroys the yoke, that destroys the bondage. Amen. We need to be yoked of Jesus and nothing else. Come on. We don't need to be yoked to the principalities and powers of the air. We don't need that yoking on us. But this anointing that God is sending will break the yoke of bondage. It'll get that load off your neck and shoulders. Come on. It'll release your mind so that you can think clearly. Amen. And then times of refreshing will come from the Lord. And then over in 1 John chapter 2, in verse number 27, I'm just going to prove to you, you've got the anointing. And it says, but the anointing which you have received from him abides, lives in you. Amen. Where is it? It's in you. You don't have to look up there for the anointing. You don't have to call somebody on the phone for the anointing. Because God has equipped you with the anointing. That's all right. It's okay if you want to call somebody and you want to both pray with the anointing. That's great. What I'm trying to say, what God is saying is that you and him are enough to get this job done. Amen? Doesn't have to take some special evangelist, some super-duper person. It's God in you that breaks this anointing. Amen? And we all have to have that anointing that we have in us released. Well, how do we release this anointing? By faith. You know, because when you're depressed, when you're discouraged, when you're downhearted, when all these things are going on, when everything's going in reverse, you get older, you get sicker, come on. It's just a fact. But the truth is, Christ will heal you. Amen. But it takes the anointing of God. Amen. No matter what is going on, it's the anointing that's going to break that yoke of bondage. By faith, when we use God's word. But faith without what? Is dead. Works. So you see, with the anointing alone, you're going to have to take your faith and you're going to have to put it what? In action. Amen. In other words, God said, I've given it to you. Now I want you to do something with it. Come on. Too many people are waiting for God to do something when God has already done something. He's waiting on you to respond. Remember at the cross, Jesus said, it's finished. It's done. It's accomplished. What was done? What was accomplished? The victory over sin and death. Come on. There was a victory at the cross. You know, and the Bible says we're complete in Christ. We're not needed to be complete. We are complete in Christ. Our life is hid in Christ. The anointing. Christ, the anointing. And so when trouble comes, and how many know trouble does come? But how many know trouble doesn't have to last always? Amen. We don't need to have, when trouble comes, you don't need to make more trouble. Come on. By yielding to it and murmuring and complaining. But there is an answer. Paul and Silas had the answer. Come on. Over in Acts chapter 16. Okay, watch. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas were imprisoned. And it, in verse 16, now it happened as we went in prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us. How many know the devil's going to send somebody to meet you? Woo, come on. Some unwelcome visitor who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. Oh my, sounds good at first. And this she did for many days, but something began to happen. All of it, something began to wear on Paul and Silas as they were going around there. As this woman, this girl, this fortune teller was every day saying, look at these great men of God. They show you the way. But there was something inside those words that was toxic, that was poison. It wasn't from the Spirit of God. It was from the devil. It was from hell, disguised. Come on. Woo! And Paul and Silas at first didn't think much of it, just like we don't. But you can be around some people that are toxic to you. Come on. People that are an assignment from hell to bring you down. And at first you don't realize it. But then after a while, you say, there's something that isn't right. There's something here. I can't quite get my finger on it right now. But I know there's something wrong. Come on, I'm speaking to somebody this morning. Woo! And so this is going on for some days. And Paul said, Silas, I've had enough of this. How many know you, when you've had enough of it, God's ready to intervene. Come on. God will allow you to go in some things until you get your belly full of it. In other words, it stinks. You don't need any more of that toxic poison poured into you. And so Paul looked at that, at her, and he said, you spirit of divination. See, God will reveal the spirit that's behind your trouble. Because behind every trouble, there's a spirit that's bringing these things into your life. And Paul cast that out. You've got to rise up with the anointing of God, and you've got to use the authority that God has given you in the name of Jesus Christ, and you've got to rise up above the enemy, take your authority that God has given you, and say, enough is enough is enough is enough. I've had it. That's right, Pastor. Devil, get out of here now. In the name of Jesus Christ. I command you to go. You see, you're using the anointing. You're using the word of God, what God has already given you. You got to let it rise up inside you in faith, believing. Not in, I hope something happens. Come on. But I'll tell you what, when you're down in the dumps and you're so low, you can't even look out the top of your socks. Come on. Whew. Ooh, that is low. Woo. It's hard to get up and go. But by faith, you begin to speak to that trouble, to that spirit. You see, because God will reveal it, just like he did to Paul. He realized after a while that it was a spirit of divination. It was a python spirit. You know what a python is? If you look in the Strong's Concordance, it'll say python. Python is a non-poisonous snake, but it's full of poison in its muscles. What am I saying? It has strength. A python is a large snake. And many times a python will hang up in a tree waiting for its victim to come by its prey. Like a deer. And it'll drop down on that deer and it begins to wrap itself around that deer, beginning to squeeze the life out of it. Come on. That's what Satan is doing. He's like that python, that heaviness, that weariness, it drops down on you and it begins to enclose itself. It suffocates you. And Paul said, I've had enough of this heaviness. I've had enough of this struggle. And he knew the only way out was that he had to release by faith the word of God. You see, you've got the word, you've got the anointing, you must release it in faith believing. And that's what Paul did. He destroyed it. It's the anointing that destroys the yoke. And you must rise up in the anointing. Don't think you don't have the anointing. The anointing is not known by your feelings. Come on. The anointing is not known by some goosebumps. The anointing isn't known by some glory cloud even coming in. The anointing is known because God said it's in you. So don't wait for all these feelings to rise up. They will come as you rise up in faith. So Paul knew how to take care of that. But the symptoms of this is that it suffocates you. It actually gets you, at times you can hardly breathe. You ever been, here's a good example. I've been around people at times I couldn't stay around because they take my breath away. They just had to get away. They weary you down. That's a python spirit. It's heaviness. And you can't be kind to it. I had a church one time, I had one in our church. I talk off 21 pounds, so excuse me. Woo! Got my high waters on. Now, I had a woman in one of my churches one time, and every time she'd come in, tried to talk to her. Yes, yes. Excuse me. You know? They'll wear you down. That's before I knew how to deal with it. Huh? The best thing you can do if someone's got that spirit on them, they love God, say, excuse me, are you tired and weary and run down? Do you need a little Geritol? I'll tell you what, let's pray. You know what, let's just, you know what I think you just gotta tell them, after you tell them a little bit, they know it, and say, let's just get rid of this thing. Do them a favor and do yourself a big favor. Woo, hallelujah. So Paul and Silas, after knew how to get rid of that nut, but it cost them, didn't it? Yep. There's a price to pay. Because the enemy gets mad. You know, when you destroy the demon that he assigned against you, come on, Satan literally assigns demonic spirits to everybody, and he also assigns demonic spirits over churches. He brings strongholds. And they need to be broken. So once you recognize that, then you deal with it. But the enemy really gets mad. He's mad because you've uncovered him. Come on. This morning, there's going to be an uncovering. But with that uncovering, you're going to have to learn to do something to keep that demonic power away. Come on. Now, when this morning, when the tongue came and the interpretation come, it said that God loves to be worshiped and adorned. Did you know that your worship will keep the enemy at bay? Did you know that when you worship God in spirit and in truth, you praise and worship him, Satan gets a headache? Come on. And he has to go. Paul and Silas, you can read down there, said that in verse 25 of that same chapter, well, they were thrown in prison because that spirit brought its masters a lot of money through fortune telling. Well, anyways, they were upset. The devil was upset, threw them in the prison. It says in verse 20, and they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. Come on, God is looking for some people to trouble this city. Woo! And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. I pray to God we never get beaten with rods. Come on. But you know what? And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now, here's what happens. The anointing rose up in you. The word came forth. You broke through. The enemy got mad. Come on. How many know he's persistent? But how many know you got to be persistent too? Come on, you got to have a persistent faith. And so what happened was they threw him into prison, and Paul and Silas were down there murmuring and complaining, were they? I don't think so. Why, look what we did for God. Look what we did. We cast out this demon and out. Is this what we get? Some reward. Where's God at? That won't get it done. Mm-mm. God had a bigger plan. When God delivers you, delivers the church, he has a bigger plan. Amen. That spirit of divination, that spirit of Python, God used that through Paul and Silas to do something greater. Amen. What happened was when that principality and power was broken over that city, Because that's what happened. There were people getting a lot of money off of that. When that spirit was broken over that city, the people were upset and mad. So you're going to make some people mad. Now, I hate to tell you that, but the truth is you get people mad when you no longer are being led by that spirit or being controlled by that spirit. Understand? So they threw him in the prison. But Paul and Silas knew that this persecution wasn't going to last. They knew that victory was assured. How did they know? Because it said in verse 25, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. You keep on praying, you keep on praising, you keep on worshiping God despite what the enemy does. Come on. I'd like to tell you that the enemy can't touch you, that the enemy can't ever do anything, but I'm here to tell you that Satan goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. And I'm telling you, he's trying to devour Christians. He's trying to keep them down. He's trying to keep them from getting free. But whom the Son makes free is free indeed. And I believe today many are going to be made free. I believe this church can be made free today. And that principality and that power of religiosity that's over this city can be broken. Yeah. Hallelujah. It says at midnight they were praying and singing hymns, praising God, and the prisoners were listening. How many know when you're happy, when you're joyful, when you carry around that joyfulness, no matter what happens, people are listening. When they think you ought to be cursing God and die, because where's your God at when you're in prison and you're down there in the dungeon? But you know what? Paul and Silas said, God's going to show up and show off. God is going to show up and show off in your life if you continue to worship him and praise him and adore him. Worship, when you do the praise and worship in here, my goodness, it's a setup for deliverance. It's a setup to get you free from what binds you. To get free. But then when the enemy comes, he'll try again. You keep on praising him. How many times have you felt the anointing, the power of God, and wow, and then all of a sudden, something worse happened? I mean, the truth. That's the truth. Well, that something worse was another setup for a great victory. Because people are going to see that you are steadfast, unshakable, unmovable, always abounding in the love of God. People watch us. When you leave this church and you go places, people see you. How do you act? Do you murmur? Do you complain? You tell them how bad it is, all the trouble you got? Why don't you tell them how big God is? How great your God is? Keep a smile on your face. Be joyful. I mean, you'd be surprised what laughter and joy will do, huh? You'd be surprised. You know, no matter what I'm going through, I'm always joyful. I might say a murmuring thought or here or there, then I erase it with 10 great things. Come on. Does that make sense? Amen. I catch myself when that happened to me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And I start praising God. You put the enemy to flight. And people are listening and watching you just like the jailer and the prisoners. And God said, you know what? Because of your faithfulness, Paul and Silas, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send a great deliverance to you, this place. He sent an earthquake. And then what that earthquake did, it didn't break their bones. It didn't cause the jailhouse to fall down and bury them. Think about this miracle. You know what it did? That earthquake was laser sharp. Zip, zip, off the stocks, the bonds, every jail cell, zip, is broken open. Wow. God knows what he's doing. So, because you see, your praise and your worship, God is laser sharp, setting you free and others free. When you praise him and worship him, I'm telling you, it releases a great opportunity for deliverance. You just got to enter in. And you just got to stay in the spirit of praise and worship at all times. It says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Worship is a powerful tool. My goodness. I say this to y'all. When you come together, you come in here, don't come in here and have your mind wandering all over. Get it in one accord. And get involved, and no matter if the same songs are played 100,000 times, there's a message. There's an anointing that is being released there, and that anointing that is coming towards you as you praise and worship God, the anointing in you is being released, and it connects. And it brings great deliverance. So don't let your troubles rule you. Don't let the devil use them to hold you back. You know, it's like sickness, or you get a disease, you know, and you just got to be persistent. You just got to be persistent. Don't stop praising God just because you've been diagnosed with some bad thing. Because you got to realize there's something good going to come out of it. Come on. Ooh, that anointing, that faith in God will set you free. People don't get free because they become negative. You know? Oh my, I don't know what I'm going to do. I lost my job. Oh, I went to the doctor and found out I got cancer. Oh my, I just found out my husband's cheating on me. You know, those are terrible, terrible things. But the good thing is God has the answer. God has the answer. Look to him, the author, the finisher of your faith. And when you see these spirits and you feel them and you know them, they're coming at you. Take authority. In the name of Jesus, I do not receive you. Cancer, I don't receive you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I don't receive that my husband is an adulterer. I receive that he's repenting and getting out of that. And I also receive that I can get through this with the help of God. You understand? I know it's tough. But we're tough. Didn't you know you're tougher than the devil? You're tougher than anything that happens because you got God in you. Hallelujah. I saw angels just fill this house when I stood up here. I mean it. When I say I see them in my spirit. They're here and they go with you. They're wherever you are. They're with you. Hallelujah. I don't know what breakthrough you need this morning, but I know that the breakthrough spirit is here to give you your breakthrough. So what do you got to do? Allow the word of God to be your authority. When you allow the Word of God to be the authority, your faith is released with that anointing, and the yoke is destroyed. Amen. You got to live like that. I ain't quite never preached this like this before. So anyhow, evidently this is what some of you need, or all of us need. We all need it to some degree or the other. Come on. Keep your faith in God. Do not listen to, do not take the world's report as a final authority. Take God's report. Over in, see where you want to go. I wrote it down here. Let's go to Luke chapter 11, 5 through 8. Here's about a friend comes at midnight. And the friend knocks on the door. He said to him, "Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight?" You go to your friend and say to him, "Friend, lend me three pizzas, three loaves here. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him." And he will answer from within and say, "Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed." The man's in bed. It's midnight. He's tired. He don't want to get up. He said, "I cannot rise and give to you." Jesus said, "I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs." Persistence. You have to have a persistent faith. Amen. And so that guy, his friend, this guy was persistently knocking. "Come on, get up, get up, get up. I told you no. Get up, get up. Quit your knock. Knock, 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 knock. Come on." So finally he said, "I'll just get up and I'll give it to him." You see, you got to be persistent with God. You have to be persistent in the Word of God. You got to keep asking. You got to keep seeking. You got to keep knocking for the victory. Why is that? Yes, it will come. It's assured. Why do you got to keep asking? Why do you got to keep seeking? Why do you got to keep knocking? Because you have an adversary. You have an adversary. Ask Daniel. He prayed and knocked for 21 days. The answer came. He said the prince of Persia was hindering him. Satan is brings hindering spirits. He brings things to stop. But you keep persistent in your asking, your seeking, and your knocking. And you will get it. Over in Luke 18, look at another example. And let's look at Luke 18, verse 1. "Then he spoke a parable to them that men here always ought to pray and not lose heart." Never stop praying. "There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, 'Get justice for me from my adversary.' And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself," listen to this, "'though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, weareth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wear me away.'" Whew. You just be persistent. You'll get what you want. Many of us have prayed for things, and then we quit praying because we weren't persistent enough. But God has promised you. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Everyone that asks receives. Everyone that continues to seek finds. And everyone that continues to knock. You want me to stop, don't you? I'm not stopping. It's getting to you, isn't it? Stop it! No, I won't! Woo! Gotta be persistent. In the 80s, I had to learn to be persistent. Did you hear that word? I had to learn. I was forced to learn to be persistent. And your good Heavenly Father will put you in those situations too. Back in the 80s, in 84, I had a church. And I also had a small church that I planted, and I also had a business. But I began to notice numbness, trouble walking. You know, and after a while, it really got hard. And then I'd be walking, and down I'd go. And I found myself could hardly get up. And I would pray. And it kept getting worse. And I found out I had a degenerative disease of the spine. And I was praying and believing God. And I ended up selling my business because I was unable to maintain it with the condition I was in. So I sold it. I had my church, but I lost a lot of money. And I said, and I would say, God, what's going on? That's okay. Why, God? Why haven't you healed me? And then, of course, you get them. Well, I'm healed by your stripes. Amen. And you go through all that. You got to be persistent. And I'd get out of bed, and I'd crawl on my knee, hands and knees, and hold on to stuff and get up, never knowing when I'd collapse back down. I'd go to church and stand behind the pulpit and preach healing and deliverance. And the enemy would scream at you, scream at me, "Where's your God? Ha! You really believe he heals? You really believe he loves you? Look at you. Why are you preaching? I'd quit. Why are you still going on? You need to quit. Your God don't love you. He's not answering you. Your God wouldn't make you suffer like this." I'm speaking to some people. Then when I lost my business, I had a janitorial service. We did smoke, water, restoration. We had carpet routes, professional, industrial, residential. Lost it all. Where's your God? And by his stripes, I'm healed. I'm healed. I thank you, Lord. You're providing for me. $4,000 all I got in 85. Hurting. You must be a bad sinner. You don't have enough faith. You're not living right. Let me tell you something. I don't always have right thoughts. But that wasn't the problem. So don't let the devil tell you. If you think you can get every thought out of your head, forget it. He'll torment you. He'll work on you. You're not good enough. Let me tell you, agree with him. That's right. I'm not. But thank God for the grace of God. Whew. Thank God for his grace. I was learning. I saw people healed. I even saw a dog healed. And I'm not healed. I'm sitting visiting a member of our church, and all of a sudden this guy brings his dog in there who's, and a laser light comes through the ceiling, hits his dog on the side. Dog, I don't think the dog got slain in the spirit. But I saw that laser light come, and I said, God just healed your dog, and this man's a drunk, he's not even saved. He said, how'd you know that? How'd you know something wrong with my dog? And I told him what happened. I'll tell you, that got his attention. I don't know if he ever got saved or not, but that got his attention. Well, I went to church, and now I'm in this condition. And the veterinarian comes to church Sunday night. He came to our church. I didn't know it was the same vet. And he said, has God healed any more dogs? I said, what do you mean? Dean Waffen said, well, that dog was going to die. And so I'm saying, God, you heal a dog, you won't heal me. I mean, like, come on, those thoughts hit you. Like Joyce Meyer said, the battlefield's right up here. But be persistent in your faith. You got the anointing. And keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Because that spirit of divination, that spirit of whatever, is going to be broken. And so, here I am in church. Holding on to the pulpit. Going out there gingerly. Don't want to, but even in church, oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Quit preaching. God don't answer your prayers. Look at, he don't care about your bills. Look at that. It's a storm. But we're sheltered in God. And then I, one day in 80, it was late 84, 1984, God spoke to me out of the blue. He said, I want you to go to Glasstech. I didn't even know this place. He told me, go to Glasstech in Middlebury, Indiana, and get a job. I had a business that paid 10 times more than I'd get there. Go get a job. Against your own reasoning. Come on. God has a way out. He has a plan. I heard his voice very clearly. And so, in the midst of the storm when he spoke, I got in my car, not even knowing there was such a place. But by the Spirit, he led me right to it. And I went inside there. It was in December of 84. A couple of weeks before the left in the year. And I got out of my van. And I remember walking slowly. Saw that factory. Could smell the fiberglass. They made bathtubs and showers and this kind of stuff. And I walked through the door, and it wasn't one of these fancy places. You just walked through the door, and there's a little office there, and it said hiring. So I said, can I have an app? And believe me, I didn't want to be embarrassed. I didn't want to have to grab something. But I sat down in a little chair there and filled out an application. It was a very simple app for those jobs. And what a check and interview he did. He didn't call no references. He just looked at my name and said, can you start the first Monday of next year? And I said, yep. And I left. I didn't want him to watch just in case I stumbled or fell getting back out there. Got in my van. I went home. It was about 2 weeks left in the year. And I'm telling you, day after day after day, pain, no improvement, getting worse. You sure you heard from God? God wouldn't put you through all this stuff. But you know what? I had faith. Faith come by hearing. I heard from God. Christmas came and went. No sign of any improvement. But I kept my confession of faith. I kept asking. I kept seeking. I kept knocking. I had persistent faith. I went to bed on the first Sunday of the new year. And something happened that night. I woke up and set my alarm for 5 o'clock. And the alarm went off. And you get out of bed, you go like this. You stop. Move your legs. And you work your way up and you stop. But that morning, I was going to do that. But all of a sudden, I realized there was something happened. I stood up. And I began to walk. I walked around the bedroom and in the house. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Beginning to praise Him and thank Him. And the enemy's still screaming, "You aren't healed. You aren't healed." So I got dressed and I kept waiting, but I didn't have to stop. Didn't have to really hold on to anything. Got in my van. Showed up at work and showed me what I was going to do. And it was getting up and down and around. And in fiberglass, they have molds and stuff, and you cut them out and different things. And I started work. And I realized that I really was healed. And God gave me my miracle because I was persistent against all odds. Because I had faith, I had an anointing, I had the word. And I know God said, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, power over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by his heart you." I'm here to tell you this morning, your breakthrough is here. Your breakthrough for you individually, your family, and your church is here. Turn around. Turn around. God has a plan to turn things around in your life. Well, what do I got to do? Receive the word. Begin to praise Him and thank Him despite what's going on. Because with every breakthrough, there's going to be an attack. Because Satan is mad. But you know what? I found out if you're persistent, it'll keep you alive. It'll open the heavens. Bring healing and deliverance and finances. It'll turn a church around and bring the fire back. Don't talk defeat. Talk victory. Think victory. Because victory's ours in Jesus' name. Lift up your hands and worship God. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Thank you, Father. We love you. We adore you. Father, it's